It's on.
And on this day, not a single f*** was given. And then he goes by his five cloth armors and goes and tries to solo a turret.
Welcome to Summoner's Rift.
You're listening to the IP Boost, a League of Legends podcast, with your hosts, Neil Lucky Boy McLeod and Michael El Tarpo Ellis. Now sit back, relax, and let the grime of battle fall away. It's time for IP Boost.
Hello, it's March 26th. This is IP Boost. I'm Neil Lucky Boy, and I'm here with Michael El Tarpo. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
It's going. I didn't realize it was the 26th. I thought it was the 25th. And then I realized it's a brand new day.
It is a brand new day. It's almost 1 o'clock in the morning. It's a brilliant Saturday morning. Yeah. So, Michael, what have you been up to in the League of Legends?
Well, I've been diligently working on getting IP to buy some new runes for my shiny characters. And I've been playing a lot of Maokai, the Twisted Treant. And that dude is pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. I played him when he first came out, and I was underwhelmed, but I wasn't really familiar with how he should be played. And now that I don't build Ability Power Maokai, he's pretty beastly. He's very, very good support slash tank champion, and very, very, very good at team fights.
Yeah, you totally build him very tanky, don't you?
I do, because, you know, if you go AP, you're just going to end up feeding, because he's kind of squishy, and you have great initiation, but they can just burst you down real quick. So, yeah. How about you, Neil? What have you been up to, man?
Oh, lots of things. I've been playing around with a lot of new champions. I got kind of tired of my Nocturne build. Got a little too good with him. He's kind of OP, so I decided to give people a little break. No, I'm just teasing. But I played around with Tryndamere a little bit. But I never could quite get the hang of him, so I bought a Akali, and I've been messing around with Akali, and let me tell you, I sucked hardcore for a little bit with her, but I've kind of gotten the hang of her, and she's a lot of fun to mess with. She's a lot of fun to juke people with, and then a lot of fun to just get up behind Annie, or Tristana, or Ashe, or any of those squishy Lux, you know, those squishy, squishy people, and just bam, knock the heck out of them. She's, it's just a lot of fun to just be a flippin' ninja. So that's what I've been up to. We've got a lot of fun things to talk about on today's show. So let's get started. On to the news.
The news.
So in the news today, we've got a couple of new skins.
You freaking do.
Yeah, they're both very boring.
Yeah. The Marble Malphite skin, if you look at the picture, it looks really, really cool. And then when you see it in-game, which I have, because one of my friends plays Malphite and he thought it would be really cool, it looks exactly like Malphite has always looked, except, drumroll please, he's white. Yes, he's white. And lame. That's it. It's very boring. And then we have the Bandit Sifir skin, but I have not seen that in-game. I can't imagine it being very exciting, though, because it's Sifir.
Yeah. Sifir. Yep. So, it's pretty exciting. Just Riot trying to get some more cash out of old characters. But, yeah.
And a disclaimer here, I do not want to offend any Sifir players. Some of you are probably pretty cool people. However, I am not a fan of the champion. Anyway, moving on. Yeah. Nurse Akali skin.
Yeah, the Nurse Akali skin, this is pretty exciting. We all know what's happening in Japan right now. And lots of video game companies are making whatever impacts they can about just trying to help out the Red Cross relief funds. And Riot has taken half off the Nurse Akali skin and is taking all of the proceeds from selling the Nurse Akali skin towards the Red Cross Relief Fund in Japan. And I just have one question about this. Why did they go ahead and take half off? You know, why aren't they just selling it all anyway?
Well, you know, maybe more people will buy it. I know that if a champion's half off, I'm more inclined to buy the champion.
Yeah, and, I guess so.
They also did take half off Akali as well.
Yeah, and so, I guess we both did buy Akali with it half off.
We did. I yeah, I'm a little bit guilty, but you know what? It was cheap, so whatever.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to go ahead and buy the skin just to help out Japan.
Yeah, you help out Japan by gaming. It's very fitting.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, and our big segment for the news this week is Lee Sin. Lee Sin the Blind Monk.
Yeah. Lee Sin the Blind Monk, is it the April Fools this year? What do you think, Michael? Is it the April Fools?
I don't think so. I mean, he's a pretty cool champion, and if they were going to make an April Fool's joke out of it, then they would have done something ridiculous like make Earth the Manatee or something.
Again.
Right. But yeah, he's not that far-fetched, and his abilities seem kind of legitimate. If they would have said, like, he's completely always covered in fog of war, then yeah, maybe. But no, I think he's pretty cool. Neil, do you want to go over his abilities really quick for us?
Sure. His Q ability. Okay, so all of his abilities are like twofold. He's the blind monk. So his the first part of his ability is always based around like finding an enemy or a champion or an ally. And so the first part of his ability is finding it, and then the second part is either damaging or helping that enemy slash ally. So his Q ability is Sonic Wave and then Resonating Strike. So Sonic Wave, he projects a wave of sound to locate his enemy. So picture like a sonar wave. And then within 3 seconds of casting that, he can cast Resonating Strike that deals a physical damage plus 10% of their missing health. So the more health they're missing, you know, it does 10% of that missing health. So I can see that being pretty strong.
A great finisher, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But it couldn't actually, yeah. I guess it could actually kill them because it does a certain amount of set damage to them.
Yeah, for sure.
But, and then there, his W is called Safeguard / Iron Will. Safeguard, he rushes towards an ally, so it's a dash towards an ally, shields them from damage. If the shield is broken, half the energy cost is returned. After using Safeguard, Lee Sin can cast Iron Will for 3 seconds. Iron Will uses intense training to help him thrive for in battle. For 5 seconds, Lee Sin gains lifesteal, spell vamp, and armor.
So basically, he charges in, shields someone, and then he gets really beefy himself.
Yep.
So, pretty cool.
Yeah, and then his E ability is Tempest and the Cripple. Tempest, he smashes the ground, sending out a shockwave that deals magic damage and reveals enemy units hit. So it allows him to reveal hidden enemies. If Tempest hits an enemy, Lee Sin can cast Cripple for the next 3 seconds. Cripple, he cripples, obviously, enemies revealed by Tempest, reducing their movement and attack speed for 4 seconds. And then, the enemies gradually recover movement and attack speed.
So it's like an opposite of Nasus's Wither ability, kind of, because yeah. His gets stronger over time.
Yeah. And then his ultimate, I think, is awesome, is a powerful roundhouse kick, launching enemies back and dealing physical damage. And do extra damage to any enemies they collide with. And they get knocked into the air for a short duration.
What will be interesting to see is if he can kick minions into champions. Because that'd be really cool. Like, soccer ball the little caster dude into someone, you know, get a killing blow like that. I can't imagine a sweeter kill.
Oh my gosh, that would be tight.
Roundhouse kick to the back of a head to the minion from a blind dude killing you by your turret. Oh my gosh.
That would be cool. And his passive is every time he uses an ability, his next two basic attacks gain 50% attack speed.
And they return energy as well. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He looks definitely like someone that'll take getting used to, because all of his abilities combo off of each other, and you really can't just, like, hit buttons with your face like playing Veigar or something. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. So he seems kind of like a tanky bruiser kind of character. What do you think?
Yeah, Yeah, I think that's pretty close. We'll just have to see. I mean, for all we know, come April 1st, we'll sound like idiots because we're sitting here talking about a champion that won't exist. But whatever.
Yeah, it's true. Yep. I don't know. It's interesting if you read the forums about them every time they've announced them. Everybody's all like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for this champion. I just need to change my pants now because it's so awesome. You know, all that stuff. And then, yeah.
In case you're not familiar with the backstory, I heard this from a couple people today. Apparently, Lee Sin was in charge of guarding Earth the Manatee and let him die. And so that's why, you know, you're seeing all those pictures of Earth. Maybe it's like from the April Fool's joke or whatever, but apparently Lee Sin was the guy in charge of making sure that Earth didn't die and that Warwick owned it, so.
Yep. Yeah, Warwick killed, yeah, because Warwick was the one that killed Earth, and that's the reason there's the skin with Warwick wearing Earth the Manatee. That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that does it for the news segment.
Yeah, so on to Rage Quit.
Rage Quit. Shut up, shut up, shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up, to shut up.
Shut up, shut up.
Rage Quit.
So in Rage Quit today, this is something that really, really bothers one of the two of us. I'm not going to say who. Yeah, and it has to do with losing streaks.
Yes. I think everybody goes up and down. You have, like, a few games where you just seem to be walking all over your enemies. And then you have a few games where you just can't get kills to save your life. And I am pretty sure that this has to do with the matchmaking system, which I am not a big fan of. It never seems... Neil, correct me if I'm wrong here, but usually the teams are kind of lopsided as far as level and kills go, right?
Yeah. No.
No.
I don't think so.
Well, I stand corrected then. But I you get into slumps and it can be rough, especially for me, because I get impatient when I start to do really bad, and that just makes me play worse. So when you get into losing streaks, we've come up with a few things that you can do to either ease your mind a little bit, help you do better, or get outside and enjoy the fresh air. So, Neil, would you like to start us up?
Yeah, the first thing that we came up with is just to play new champions. You know, queue up for a PvP game and choose a champion that you have no idea what you're doing. And just pretend that you do. Tell your teammates that they have no idea what you're doing and just make fun of them.
Yes, no, I have never played Shaco. Yes, I have Smite, but I want to solo the top lane against two people. I'm doing it, and there's nothing you can do. No, we don't encourage that.
No, we're just joking.
But what that'll do, what that'll do is it will make your expectations lower. Like, you don't go into it, you know, with a champion you play all the time expecting to just destroy people. You'll go in saying, all right, I'm learning a new guy, hopefully with less expectations.
Yeah. So if you play new champions, you'll just go in, and you'll play more cautiously, too. So if you play a little bit more defensively, maybe you'll when you're playing against these people that the matchmaking system is making, you play against people that are a little bit better than you're usually playing against, you'll end up maybe you'll end up not dying as much and maybe feeding a little less, and you might end up doing a little better. Who knows?
Yeah.
So the next point is just maybe try a couple. If you find yourself in the middle of a losing streak and you find yourself being a little frustrated, is just do a couple of co-op versus AI games and just beat the snot out of the Renekton AI. And Renekton needs a good beating every once in a while.
Or get destroyed by Anibot, because everybody seems to think she's ridiculous. I don't think she's that bad.
She's not that bad. You just have to wait until she picks a target other than you.
Exactly.
That's what I like to do, at least, is just wait. Oh, she picked that guy. Bah! And just beat the snot out of her.
Yeah. Hey, Ash, go check that bush over there. Let me know how it goes.
Yep.
But our third option is to step away from your computer, finish up your honey-do list, do some chores, homework, depending on what state of your life you're in. Go walk your dog, or go to the bathroom with a nice book, and take a load off, if you know what I mean. But yeah, so just try not to get discouraged, because if you get discouraged, you're gonna play worse. It's the same with anything. Yeah.
Yep. And you know, if you, yeah. And try not to get discouraged. Try to queue with, you know, different people. If you just end up playing with the same group of people, you know, then maybe it's time to change it up. Try to queue with, queue solo. Make new friends, you know. This is a social game. You're playing with, you know, four other people or two other people. If you're playing Twisted Tree Line, you know, you're playing with other people for a reason, you know. You know, talk to them, make friends, add them to your friends list, chat with them afterwards. There's a reason they're chat rooms. You know, add them to your friends list, take the time to visit the forums, chat with us, send us an email. You know, chat them up, make friends.
By all means, add us, and then when we're having a losing streak, we can let you know.
Yeah. Play with us, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, moving on to our exciting champion spotlight with a guest.
I am your worst nightmare.
Champion spotlight.
And now for champion spotlight, we've got a special inaugural presentation for you guys. We have our first ever guest on IP Boost. We have Luke. He plays Anarion on League of Legends, and he plays Tryndamere as his main. Hey, Luke, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. So Luke is here with me and Michael, and we asked him to come on to give us a little bit about Tryndamere, and we all know Tryndamere is one of the main melee carries that we all see in the League of Legends a lot, and Luke plays him quite well. He's one of my I've played quite a bit, and Luke is one of my favorite people to play with because he's a Tryndamere that keeps his eyes open. He's not all set on just getting fed, you know, and will do anything to get that kill steal and just get the items that he wants. He plays to, you know, plays to play as a team player. You know, so Luke, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started in League of Legends and just kind of give us a little bit of background about that.
Alrighty. Well, I think really it all started out, I was at a LAN party up in KC at one of my buddy's house, and one of the guys there started talking about it, and I used to play Dota way back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a pretty easy hook to get us all involved, so me and a group of my friends from Kansas City started playing together, and it's pretty much been a downhill addiction since then.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay, so then you started playing League of Legends, got involved, and then you picked Tryndamere. Okay, and then...
It was kind of a chance encounter, really, because I didn't start playing him. The first champion I played was Teemo, and randomly ended up with 1350 IP and decided to give Tryndamere a shot and fell in love. So.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah, well, actually, he doesn't want to say this, but the reason that he picked Tryndamere is because he really wanted to play the ballerina character, but since they didn't have anybody that twirled about, he found Tryndamere, and he's like, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, that guy twirls.
I can do the twirly twirly.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. You caught me.
So why don't you give us a brief rundown of Tryndamere's abilities and kind of what you use them for?
All right, so we'll start off with the passive. I can't remember what it's called, long story short. It gives you a permanent 10% increase to your critical strike chance, and then for every 10% of your health that's missing, it gives you another 4% critical strike chance boost. So it's pretty solid, and unlike a lot of heroes, Tryndamere gets far more deadly the lower health he gets.
Yeah. So you kind of have to balance that out between, because, you know, as you get lower in health, you're just kind of like, oh, I want to stay in there because I know the next crit's going to get even bigger, but then you might, you know, die the next, you know.
Yeah, he's definitely not a champion for the lighthearted.
It
takes a little bit of guts to hang in there when maybe you should get out. So,
yeah.
All right, so then rolling with his Q is Bloodlust. Anytime he gets a critical strike or kills an enemy, he gains stacks of Bloodlust, which increase his attack damage and critical strike damage. So really, it stacks quite well with his passive. Again, just overall increasing the damage output that he can do. And then you can also activate it to heal Tryndamere based on how many stacks of Bloodlust you have on you at the moment.
And how high does that stack?
It goes up to 8 stacks.
Cool.
So it's a pretty solid chunk of healing, and especially at the start of the game, it can really increase your damage output. So it's pretty fantastic. It's usually the first ability that I level up.
Mm-hmm.
The healing definitely lets you stay in lane a lot longer. So
lets you get some more kill strikes, so you can get those items you need, huh?
Yep. All right, so next up we have Mocking Shout, which is a pretty fantastic chasing ability. What it does, it's an area of effect around Tryndamere. It decreases enemy champion's physical damage, and then any champion with their back turned has their movement speed slowed as well for, I believe, it's 4 seconds. So it's a pretty long duration. It can really help out, you know, against other carries if you get into team fights or things like that. And the slow is just epic for chasing.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that does the chicken above their head, right?
Yep. That would be it.
Yeah.
All right, so third up, we have Spinning Slash, the ballerina move, as Michael so eloquently put it. Pretty much, the description is all in the name. It's a skill shot ability with a pretty wide lane of damage, and basically it just spins you to the target location, dealing damage to anybody you hit. A fantastic escape or chasing ability. You can spin over walls, trees, anything like that, so it can really be useful if you pay attention to your surroundings.
Sweet. And do you use that to initiate, to chase, or just every time it's open?
It depends on the situation, and really kind of how the dynamic of the game has been going. If their strongest players tend to be their carries, if they're ranged, then clearly you have to get to them as fast as you can, so it really helps you close with whoever you decide to attack.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I've actually played a little bit of Tryndamere. I bought the digital pack bundle, and so he's one of the characters that I got, and I noticed with the Spinning Slash, you can actually do it over different distances, so you can do it real short, or full length, or anywhere in between. So that's pretty cool about it, and I also noticed that moves pretty decent at farming as well. Like, if there's a big creep push coming in, you can get a large swath of creeps out of the way.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, and now for the bread and butter of Tryndamere, the source of all of his infamy and much disdain, Undying Rage, his ultimate. Basically what it does, depending on what level it is, you activate it, it'll give you either 4, 6, or 8 stacks of Bloodlust when you activate it, and then it also makes you basically invulnerable for 5 seconds. You cannot be killed.
Nice.
And a lot of people tend to think that it's extremely overpowered, but I don't know, it's kind of hit or miss, and it's not quite as easy to use as a lot of people tend to think it is.
Now, is it easy to counter that? Like, what's the best way to deal with that? Because I know a lot of people, when they see it, they're like, oh, crap, and they start running, and then you chicken over their head and just twirl into them and they die. Or, you know, they beat on you for a few seconds, realize, oh, I'm not killing this guy, and then they run away, and after that, you know, if they would have stuck on you, you would have died. What is the best way to deal with the ultimate?
Honestly, and I know every character does not have a stun, but stuns are pretty much the end of Undying Rage. If you eat a stun after you pop it, it completely stops all your damage, and you're stuck. Because when it runs out, you have no health.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even if you do use Bloodlust to heal yourself afterwards, it's only about 400, 500 health, which disappears very quickly later on in the game.
Yeah. I also noticed in my limited amount of playing Tryndamere that it's hard to time, because if your health goes down pretty quickly, you know, or that last, you know, and so you hit it, and then all of a sudden, if your health stops, like, they stop nuking you, and you hit it early, and you're like, wait, they stopped hitting me, oh, crap, I hit it early, you know, and then it's just wasted, and then you're just like, dang it, and then sometimes you'll be like, okay, next time I'm going to wait a little bit longer, and then Annie comes out of the bushes and just demolishes you with a bear, and you're like, dang it, I should have hit it, you know, so sometimes it can be hard that way, so if you, like, nuke them really, if you're a really good nuker and you just nuke them before they can hit Undying Rage, then sometimes that's a really good way to just blast them.
Definitely. I would say nukers are definitely one of the types of characters that Tryndamere really has to look out for exactly the reason you said. If you can do high burst damage before, because I mean, even at that point, if you can make Tryndamere pop his Undying Rage before he even gets close to you, you're in a good place, because mm-hmm. once you make him use it, like I said, it's only 5 seconds. So at that point, you can almost just kite him.
Yep.
And yeah, he might get away, but that's kind of the decision that you have to make. If he tries to come after you, clearly you want to stay away, because he's going to be critting like a monster. But if he tries to run away, then you know he's just going to be that easy one-shot, you know, once his Undying Rage is up.
Yeah, and he still takes damage while, so if he activates it early, if you get him to activate it at like half health, you know, feign him into activating it early, you can still take him down to zero while Undying Rage is activated.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Another thing I noticed, not playing as Tryndamere, but playing with him, especially in lanes, he likes to tower dive, and he's very good at it since, you know, tower can't kill him. And a lot of people feel a false sense of security when they're by their tower. And so Tryndamere will charge in. And if I'm laning with, like, Luke, for example, and he's going for a kill, like, normally with a lane partner, you would never go for that tower dive. But with Tryndamere, you know, he'll charge in. And I, you know, just out of habit, will kind of back out. And sometimes, you know, the kill will get away. But the tower's already hitting him. So if you charge in, you're not going to take tower hits.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're laning with a Tryndamere and he does tower dive, and it's obvious that if you go in there, you'll get a kill, but it seems like you might die, he's already taken the tower hits. Just go for it. I mean, you know, go balls out. What's the worst that could happen? You know?
Yeah, you definitely have to be careful early on because Tryndamere is really item dependent. So yeah. It definitely requires you to stack that crit chance before your damage really starts to get insane. But yeah, if they're sitting low health next to their tower, there's not really a better tower diving champion than Tryndamere.
Yeah, so. Everything that I've noticed about Tryndamere is he tends to be very item dependent and very easy to harass early game.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So now that we've talked about Tryndamere's abilities, Luke, do you want to give us a rundown of what kind of masteries and runes you have set up for him?
All right. We'll start with the runes because they're pretty straightforward with Tryndamere. Marks run straight crit chance marks. Seals, just the same crit chance, as well as quintessences. All for crit chance. The only one that I don't use crit runes for are the glyphs, and I use flat cooldown glyphs. So, pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just want to stack as much crit chance early on as you can to give you that extra advantage at the beginning of the game, right?
Exactly.
Give you more Bloodlust, getting ability to lane better.
Exactly. The key with Tryndamere early, because, I mean, Bloodlust is it's your bread and butter early game, so the more you can crit, the better off you're going to be.
Got it.
So I would definitely say that critical strike chance is a huge priority. As far as masteries go, I run 21-6-3 offense, defense, utility. Pretty well straight down the middle of the offense tree. Picking up resistance for magic resist and hardiness for armor in defense. And the last one that I take for lack of really a better choice is perseverance in the utility for 4% increased health regen. Mm.
And that mana regen in there, that's good for you.
Well, yeah, but like I said, I have yet to really find anything that stands out to be better than that, because that brings me to my summoner spells that I use are Exhaust and Flash. Exhaust for the clear benefit of the slow and the reduced damage. It's fantastic for getting those kills early on, and it can really help you out against really powerful characters late game. If you need to stop, you know, a caster that's sitting in the back nuking your team or anything like that, it can come in really handy. And Flash is something I actually just started using because, frankly, having Flash and Spinning Slash, you can close huge distances very quickly if you're chasing, or just be that much more difficult to catch if somebody's chasing you. So, frankly, I'm pretty stuck on these right now. I can't think of anything that would suit Tryndamere better.
Yeah. And as for Exhaust, just like not Tryndamere related, but a lot of people forget to use that in team fights, and I think it's fantastic because, you know, you get in the team fight, you throw it on their carry, and they're kind of, you know, crippled for a few seconds. And yeah. So not only is it great in the middle of the game or in the beginning, but at the end of the game, it's fantastic as well.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, shoot, we just played a game yesterday where Lux was there. The enemy Lux was literally just sitting back, nuking our entire team, causing all kinds of hell. And finally, when we turn the tide of the game, I just, you know, you got to focus the people that are doing the most damage. So spin right through the front of their lines and just drop Exhaust on Lux, and then she can't do, I mean, 35% reduced damage for 3 seconds is a huge help to the team.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Especially for the casters, because, you know, they dump their load, like, within that first 3 seconds. So after that, they're just kind of auto-attacking, doing nothing.
Yeah. Exactly.
So moving on to the next little segment of the champion spotlight is noob tips and tricks. So Neil, you might be better at this than Luke since Luke's been playing a while, but what are some easy tips and tricks that you can give people that are just starting out with Tryndamere that might help them to not face rolls quite as hard?
Oh, man. So I would suggest always keeping track of how much health you have. And always make sure that you're using activating your Bloodlust to gain back the health. I found myself, when I first started playing, not paying attention to my stacks of Bloodlust and letting them run out without actually just doing the easy thing and tapping Q to gain that little bit of health back all the time, especially at the beginning. So, like, I'd always find myself running low on health. So constantly checking on your stacks of Bloodlust to gain back that health is really easy. And then keeping track of the Spinning Slash can get out of control sometimes if you're not careful. It's you can put yourself in the middle of enemy territory real fast, I found. Yeah. If you're, and it, like, because you're, like, this huge dude and everybody knows Tryndamere kicks trash at the end of the game, like, if they see you spin into the middle, like, in early team fights, like, around 8 or 9, they know, like, they better blow the snot out of you. So, like, be ready with your finger on R for Undying Rage, because, yeah. And then get used to tapping Undying Rage and getting the heck out of there. And don't be afraid to run away, because people, like, you are item dependent, and you need to get killing blows, and you need to farm a lot to get those items for you to be good.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And one thing that I would like to tell people that I've noticed playing with Neil over here when he first started with Tryndamere is, yes, he does get more powerful when he's low on health. But no, if you're in the lane and you're level 4 and you have 100 health left, you're going to be critting a lot, but don't stay in the lane. You're just going to die.
You hit so hard.
Yeah, he's like, I'm hitting so hard, I can't go back. Why would you go back? And then all of a sudden, an ally has been slain.
It's just a good spot, so it doesn't matter that much, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
So, Mike, a question for you.
Yes.
What do you do when you're playing against a good Tryndamere?
Wait till he falls asleep and beat him with a baseball bat while he's asleep. No,
assuming you can find where he lives, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, one thing that drives me crazy, especially in the big team fights, is people go for Tryndamere first. And that's not something that Luke, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but if you go for Tryndamere first in the team fights, you're going to burn him down really quickly because, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of defensive abilities, but then he'll blows Undying Rage, or Endless Rage, or whatever it's called, the Rage thing, and proceed to auto attack like three people to death, and because he does just such ridiculous damage when he's low on health. So what I like to do is I try to guide my team to attack maybe someone else that's squishy, because yes, Tryndamere's doing the most damage, but their Ash will go down quick, you know, and or you know their Malzahar is pretty squishy, something like that. It just goes along with, you know, the common mistake of, oh my gosh, the tank's in front of me, I'm going to hit the tank real hard, and then the rest of their team rolls in after you've used your abilities. Tryndamere will, in those team fight situations, you burn him down, he uses his rage, does massive damage, and then he gets out before you can deal a finishing blow, and by then your team's running away and you're dead. So I like to leave him in the fight a little bit longer, maybe take down one person before you go after him. But yeah, that's one thing that I've noticed helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might have to disagree with you slightly here.
Okay,
and only slightly, but it's all situational. To be honest, in the prime situation, you want to go after Tryndamere first, because the sooner you can make him use Undying Rage, the less time he has to sit there and just wail on your team. And while it can be deceptive because, yeah, he's got 5 seconds after he pops it still. He's not going anywhere. Really, this comes down to positioning of the team fights. You have to try and get him by himself, because if he makes that one quick spin to try and start the team fight, burn him quick. He'll die fast because you have to get rid of him, because either one of two things is going to happen. He's going to hang around too long with his Undying Rage, and you're going to kill him as soon as it's up, or he's going to have to run away, hopefully before his team can really get at your team. Because typically, until maybe late game, Tryndamere is extremely squishy because, like I said, he's item dependent, so you're counting on all of that extra damage from your items. So, I mean, it's pretty situational as far as who you want to try and target first. But I'd definitely say he's still pretty high on the priority list.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I stand corrected.
I think both tactics are valid. I think it just depends on the team makeup, who you've got. If you've got a lot of CC, like if you've got a couple somebody that can fear, and then like a stun and stuff, like a Taric and a Fiddle Six, you know, they can take care of Tryndamere while you burn down the couple other high damage people. You can totally take Tryndamere out of the fight before you try to burn him down and use his Undying Rage. That would totally be a valid strat.
Yeah, for
definitely.
Sure.
CC is definitely Tryndamere's main weakness. That's the easiest way to counter him. Any kind of stun, slow, fear, I mean, anything you can possibly think of. Just to try and keep him out of that fight for that extra couple seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Alright, so.
Cool.
Well, yeah, so if you're thinking about trying a champion that is kind of ballsy and really insane and drags his sword on the ground because he's too weak to carry it, then try out Tryndamere, because he's a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Definitely.
Well, Luke, thanks for coming on to IP Boost. It's been great having you. You were the first guest. How did
it
feel?
Not a problem, guys. I'm not going to lie, it felt pretty amazing.
Yeah.
that's what she said.
I hope it was as good for you as it was for me.
Well, yeah. I won't. Yeah. Hey, well, you know.
Nice.
Okay. All right. Well, on to the next section.
Roll over him with your mouse cursor and right click.
All right, this week in Noob Corner, we're going to talk about last hitting creep waves. Last hitting involves hitting the last little bit of a creep's health as they're coming through, and, you know, just hitting that last sliver of a creep's health. Michael, why is that important?
Well, Neil, when you deal the last damage to the minion, you get gold. When you do not deal the last damage, you do not get gold. Therefore, you want to do the last damage, a.k.a. last hitting.
That's right. And it's also important to notice you also get more experience for hitting the last hit. I'm not sure why that is. You know, you'd think that, you know, as long as you're hitting it all, your character would actually be getting experience. But I don't know. I guess it's just a video game and not, like, really based on real life. But anyway, So other things to take into mind when you're talking about last hitting is you want to keep track of who's in your lane and who's not in your lane. So how do you get good at last hitting? What kind of things have you done to try to get better at it, Michael?
It's really hard because when you first start the game, the only thing you're concerned about is the other champion and what they're doing, and you want to harass them and also kill minions when you get a chance. You don't really pay attention to that. But I've noticed as you get higher up, most people tend to focus a little bit more of their attention on last hitting and less on harassing very early on. Later on, harassing becomes a big deal. But basically what you want to do is kind of pay attention to health bars of the enemy minions and seeing which minions on your side are hitting the other minions. So you kind of gauge how fast their health is going down. Also, you have to know how long your attack animation is, and basically just get really good with timing it to hit the minion at the last little bit. Mm-hmm. And it can be very, very difficult to juggle that with the enemy champions and all that stuff, especially when you're close to your tower and the tower is dishing out big damage.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's pretty hard to do effectively without practice.
Yeah, and it's also hard, yeah. And so you have to keep track of how long your attack animation is, whether your range. So if your range, how long it takes your actual damage thing to get there. You know, if you're Annie, you know, it takes a long time. Your little flame ball takes a long time to travel. But if you're Ash, your arrow travels relatively quickly. You know, if you're Tryndamere, your melee and your frickin' sword takes forever to fall. But if you're, you know, freaking Shaco, you just got this little knife and it goes stabity stab kind of thing, right? And that thing moves pretty quickly,
right?
You know, but and they're up melee, so they're up close, and if you're up closer, you know, you're more easily able to be harassed by the range characters, and all this other stuff is always going on.
Correct.
You know, so one thing that always irks me that I was telling Michael about before we started is one thing to keep track of is what role you're going to play later on in the game, because last hitting creeps is at the beginning of the game is really important, and it kind of carries through the tempo of the game all the way through. So if you're the tank and you're laning with one of your carriers, with one of your carries at the end of the game, you want to make sure that you're allowing that carry to get as many last hits as possible, especially at the beginning of the game when not a lot of harassment is able to take place. So earlier today I was playing with the Samumu and I was playing Kali, and I swear I would be waiting, you know, doing my click, 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 click all around a creep, waiting to get the last hit. Just wait. And right before, I swear I was right, I right-clicked it to get the last hit, and he would run up and spam tantrum. It's like, gosh dang it, dude. I swear, if you steal another creep to kill for me, I'm gonna kill you, kind of thing.
But, he gets really, really frustrating, in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah, but like the thing, I'm gonna have an ulcer because I just bottle it up. Yeah, good thing I have this podcast and rage quit section to just let it go.
Rage quit.
No, not yet. We already passed it.
Anyway. No, dang. But so as you might know by now, I like to play support champions, and when I play Janna or Lux, what I like to do is get the minions down to where they're pretty close to dying to help out whoever I'm laning with, especially when I'm playing with Janna. Because if you're laning with a carry, you want them to get their gear quick so that you can support them in doing their damage. And if you're taking all the last hits, you're going to get some great support items, but you're not going to have that little ball of energy to support later on. So you want to
call him Michael.
Yes, they're balls of energy. I was thinking of Kennen. I'm sorry. That was terrible. Yeah, laugh it up. No, but you want to make sure that you're not stealing all the last hits from the carries, because they need the gear to be effective, and you really don't need it as much as they do.
Yeah, for sure. The last thing we thought of when you're thinking about last hitting creeps is to keep track of the pushing of whether or not your opponents are pushing or whether you're pushing. When you're last hitting creeps, don't just think about trying to time your hit so you get the last hit. What I like to do is, you know, try to keep track of which creep creeps' health is going down the least, and stand by them, or around them if you're range, and just right-click all the way around so your character doesn't actually attack until the last hit is hit, especially at the beginning, because you don't actually want to be pushed, because you have more security the closer you are to your tower.
And for those of you who don't know what key bindings are, aka Neil, if you're standing and you don't want to attack, like auto attack, you can hit the S key, that's S as in sphincter, and you will not attack. You'll just kind of sit there, and then you can right click and you'll start attacking. So that's kind of a neat trick if you're just kind of sitting there and don't want to spam click all day long.
A lot, but it's nice to move around.
It is true, especially when you're dealing with a champion that can harass with skill shots and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. But then sometimes your middle finger gets tired. Especially when you're flipping off the Moomoo that's taking all your kills.
I was like, middle finger, W? What? What's he talking
about? I meant my
about?
Right middle finger on the, the move button. Anyway.
Yeah.
So on to you mad bro.
Are you mad bro?
Mostly.
Hold up! What's that?
Well, I'm sorry.
Crush him! What the?
Whoa. You mad bro?
Okay, this week in You Mad Bro, we got three emails. First one is from Ween1. He says, at what point does having a close kill-to-death assist ratio make you a hindrance to your team? So just kind of like a little interpretation on his question in his email. He was kind of saying, you know, if you have 7 kills, 6 deaths, and 6 assists, did you still do a good job on your team because you had more kills to deaths and assists? Or, you know, did you still not do a good job because you died so many times? Or, you know, if you were 5-5-5, is that okay because it just kind of all balances out? Or, you know, Michael, what do you think?
Well, it's a good question, and it deserves a good answer. However, answering that very shortly is impossible because you have to take into consideration how long the game was, what kind of character you're playing. For instance, if you're playing a support character, hopefully you won't have a lot of kills. You should have something like maybe 1 or 2 and then, you know, a few deaths and then like 80 assists. That's what you're aiming for. The same with a tank. You don't want to have a lot of kills because hopefully your damage dealers are going to be getting most of those and you'll just get a lot of assists. So you have to gauge what kind of character you're playing. And also, it doesn't really matter what your numbers are as long as you win the game. So
what?
You have to... What? It's true. It doesn't...
You mean it's important? The most important thing is to win?
Well, not always.
Oh.
Sometimes you lose the game. And that's bad.
Oh, gosh dang it, dude.
But, so you want to just try not to feed. And if you're not feeding, especially carries, then, you know, it's really not that bad to die a few times as long as you're not, you know, being a hindrance to your team. Just do your job and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But going along with that question, we also wanted to briefly mention that one death does not equal another. Neil, explain to us.
Yeah, for sure. If you think about it, sometimes if you have a fight where you and your friend are going to gank one guy, say this guy has been, you know, a problem for your team, and so you kill him, but he manages to kill one of you, and he kills you, but not your friend. So you and your friend get one of you gets a kill, and the other gets an assist, but he only gets a kill. So you and your friend actually get more gold than he does. So, yeah. So his death was actually worse than your death was.
Right. And then you also have to consider killing sprees. Like, you know, you get someone that has the 1,000 gold bonus, and that death is worth a heck of a lot more than someone else's. Yep. So it really... You know, the numbers, like I said earlier, they don't really matter that much. Just make sure that you're doing your job and that you're helping your team and that you're not ramboing into the jungle and just dying a lot.
That's right. Yep. So, yeah. So there's a lot of things to take into consideration. And, yeah. But that's a good question. Thank you so much for sending that in. Michael, would you like to read the next one?
This is from He gives me the one that's like an entire like novel written in a question form. From Snay Beans. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Sorry if I butchered it. He says, "Hi. I like to play PvP with my friends, but sometimes they're in a match. Long story short, this guy will wait for his friends, but he doesn't want to just sit there, so he queues up for a quick game by himself against all bots, not match made. And ever since the last patch, if you leave those games, you don't have to reconnect because you're the only player. But you get a message that says if you leave enough games, then your account will be suspended. So he waited until the 20-minute mark and surrendered, and he wanted to know if he was foolish to keep his friend waiting for the 20-minute mark. The answer to this question is that suspension only applies for match-made games. That means if you make your own game, you're not being matched with anyone, you will not get a leave. That also includes custom games that you make with your friends, because that's not a match. It's just you making a game. You will not get a leave for that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Great job. And then the last question we got, well, this isn't really the last email, but this is the last one we're going to read on the show, is from Sandorum. And he says, in regards to Mercury Dreads, these are the boots upgrade with the magic resist and then also reduced how effective crowd controls are on you. He said, what is the best way to convince your team to get them when against a crowd control heavy team? And Michael and I discussed this a little bit before, and we're just both like, well, if your team doesn't realize that you're against a crowd control heavy team, and we just like talk to them about it.
Yeah, good luck with that. If there's one thing I've learned while playing League of Legends, it's that getting people to coordinate on this game, if you're not talking to them in Ventrilo or some kind of voice chat or know them, they are just going to, like, the Mordekaiser that just says, and on this day, not one single shit was given. He just runs off and does his own thing. And, you know, you can yell and shout all you want. That guy will not do anything you say. People just ignore you.
It's true.
But if chances are, if you're trying to convince your team to buy a specific item and they don't already know to get that, it's rough. Making people buy items that they probably don't want to buy is not going to go over well. Neil, do you have any ideas for this? Because I'm just dumbfounded. I have no way to convince my team to do anything half the time.
Yeah, like, it's hard enough to convince your teammates to help you kill, like, a dragon, or even to, like, yeah, to defend a tower or something, much less spend their gold on a boots that they don't want to get, like, that's not in the item build that was on Mobifier or League DB or something like that. You know what I mean?
You chances are, I've actually seen this, you go into a game against, like, all attack damage characters, and the tank goes and buys a magic resist item.
Yep.
Like a Banshee's Veil. And I'm thinking, dude, the only spell they have is, like, it's just bad. It's bad news bears. You can't really convince people to change their build for anything.
Yeah, you're just like, everybody get a Thorn Mail, and we win.
And then the guy gets the Banshee's Veil, and you're like, all right, dude, have fun.
Fail. Fail. Exactly. It's like, uninstall the game.
Please. But please, buy your Merc Treads first, just in case.
Yeah. Yep, sorry, Sandorum. I would say to you, your best bet is to add us as friends and
play with people you know. And we promise we will buy Mercury Treads.
Yes.
If you add us as your friend, because we like friends. They're good.
Yep. Play with people you know and be nice to people. And, yeah. Yep. Cool. But we just want to thank everybody that sent in emails, and we're sorry we couldn't get to all of them. Resend them in if you guys want us to really answer your questions, and we'll try to respond back. I tried to reply to all the ones that I could that were short. And yeah, cool.
We'd also like to take a second to thank everybody that's been listening. We're very excited that we have this many people listening to us, and keep listening. So hopefully we'll have good shows in the future.
Yeah,
too.
We're really excited about where the podcast is going and how well it's taken off. It's should be great. IP Boost is there's exciting things in its future, I think. Anyway, just to wrap things up once again, the Twitter for the show for right now is my Twitter. It's LuckyBoy505. I'll be posting when new episodes come out, when Michael and I are playing, you know, when I'm playing, at least. And then the website is ipboost.blogspot.com. You can catch the show notes there, as well as the episodes themselves. The email is at ipboostpodcast@gmail.com. You can send your emails to the shows there, as well as anything else for the show. Our in-game names are, mine is LuckyBoy505, and Michael's is El Tarpo.
One word.
Yep, one word. And then, yeah. Awesome.
All right, well, get out there, play some LOL, and last hit a lot of minions so that you have enough gold to buy your Merc Treads.
That's right. Cool. Well, thanks so much for sticking around for episode number 3. We'll catch you on the flip side.
I'm gonna go take a shower and then see a man about some bees.